propose that point of the many, many, many contributions that Brisk has to the world of halacha. You know, some of the most singular and incisive contributions happen to be in the midst of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what happens is, from generation to generation, starting with, you know, the Beis Halevi, and then Reb Chaim, and Reb Moshe, and the Riskarav, and the Rav, is that each generation added their own, you know, ideas, and added their own, you know, nuances. If you're looking for a wonderful, you know, resource about this, I'm not here to sell books. And also, it's not my book, and I don't get any commission, but I just want to see, like, this in action. There's this Haggadah that was put out, you know, maybe about 25 years ago by Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein, Rav Aaron Zatzal's son, called the Siach HaGrid Haggadah, which I try to reread every year, which, beautifully captures a lot of this dynamic, like, you know, the traditions as they were passed down from one generation to the next, and each generation really building off the previous generation, like, you know, Vihigat to Levincha in action. It's an exceptionally moving, you know, manifestation of, like, you know, the power of Masorah in general, and, you know, how, at least in this family, right, you know, the emphasis on learning and learning with children, which was, like, really one of the hallmarks of Brisk in general, and the centrality of that, even within the framework of Talmud Torah, but, like, you know, Vishinanta Levanecha Kipshuto, how important that's been, so that really expresses itself here. So, you know, Hakaras HaTov and its role at the Seder is a really good example. So let me just, like, you know, instantiate this point, and then we'll be on the road. So, you know, Reb Chaim wrote the essay, right? He started the ball rolling where he was, you know, totally intrigued by, you know, this question of what the nature of the difference is between the once annual mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and the daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that we reference at the Seder, right? The Pasuk says, Aman tiskos yom tzeis cham yeretz Mitzrayim, kol yimei chayecha, yimei chayecha hayamim, and kol yimei chayecha, that's the whole discussion, you know, between, you know, Ben Zoma and the Chachamim. So Reb Elazar ben Azariah says, you know, been waiting this whole time for Ben Zoma to come along, Harani Kiven Shivim Shana, you know, and Velos Achisi Shetiyam Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos Ad Shadarsha Ben Zoma, Mantiskos Yom Tzis Chomer Tzitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha Yimei Chayecha Hayamim Kol Yimei Chayecha L'Rabos Halelos. Like Reb Elazar ben Azariah had this instinct, but he just couldn't really instantiate the point until Ben Zoma came along and, you know, was able to hammer it home that we're supposed to acknowledge the fact, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim just means to acknowledge the fact that God, you know, orchestrated our exodus from Egypt every single day and every single night of the, you know, entire year. Then we have this, like, once annual mitzvah, either derived from Vigat Levincha Bayom HaHulimor, or alternatively, if you prefer, you know, the Rambam and the Yad HaSaka, Zachar Sayom Hazer Shir Yitzatza Mitzrayim of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Reb Chaim wrote the essay, you know, published in Nature. No, published in Nature, but, you know, could have been the equivalent, where, you know, he explained, you know, what he thought the differences were. And he said it boils down, he thinks, to three things, you know, that are the, like, the primary differences between the mitzvah as it's practiced annually and the mitzvah as it's practiced on a, you know, a nightly basis. So they are, number one, the props. That Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, like, you know, a story has to have, like, props. They don't call it show and tell for nothing, you know. So, you know, I guess, you know, everybody remembers from their early childhood years, right, that you're supposed to bring the object and say something about it. So that's the Bishah Sheish Matzah Marim Runachim Lefanecha. So, you know, most people, I can't speak to every minion in the world, I don't want to be presumptuous, but, like, yeah, I don't know. You don't see most people coming to Maariv, you know, on a random night in Shvat or Cheshvan with a box of matzah and some maror. Yeah, I don't know how we would handle it if it happened, but, usually it doesn't. So the point is that, you know, one of the distinctions is that there has to be, you know, the elements, the props of the evening, you know. But, okay, so that's number one. Number two is the method. So is derech she'elo tshuva, what we call the Socratic method, but it has to be that, like, you know, that we have to prompt the kids to ask questions, k'deshi yishalu atinokos, that's why we're doing, like, funny things, and having not just one cup of wine, but, like, multiple cups of wine, and different people are pouring, and people are stealing things, and, you know, people are dipping things, and, okay, the kids are supposed to ask, all right? So, and then once they ask, so then we can answer, and the Fidaito Shel Ben Aviv Malamdo is supposed to be, like, differentiated education, so, you know, it gets, like, pretty advanced. So that's another difference. We don't have Derech Shelo Tshuva on a nightly basis. And the third difference is like a narrative arc. What the Gemara calls Maschal Bignosim Asayim B'Shavach, that we start out with the degradation of the Jewish people. There's a machlokas in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel. We end up passing like both of them. Like, what do we mean by Maschal Bignosim Asayim B'Shavach? One view is Avadim Hayinu, and then we were liberated. Achshav Bnei Chorin. The second view is Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, and then Achshav Kirvanu Amakal Avodasa. So we say it's really both. And the Rambam has like this additional idea that the way that we tell that story, which is two stories in one, is Vahu. The Rambam says Sheyidrosh Mei Rami Ovid Avi Ad Sheyigmar Kol HaParsha Kula. So that's what Reb Chaim had to say about it, and that was a tradition that was passed on to Rav Moshe and the Briska Rav. And then the Rav, you know, added on to that. So the Rav said that he thought that in addition to his grandfather's three elements, that Sipor Yetzias Mitzrayim, as opposed to Zechira, manifests itself in a fourth way, namely that it immediately generates an obligation, you know, lehodos ulehalel. So we all know this like a very unusual phenomenon of, you know, yachatz isn't the only time that we break things up, you know, in the Seder, but we break up the halal, right? So we insert the first half of the halal, so to speak, at the end of Magid. So the way the Rav like to explain that is that if the whole basis of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is sort of, you know, reliving the moment, Chayav Adam Liros Asatzmo Kilu Yatzam Mitzrayim, so that means that there's a chiyuv which is generated for every man, woman, and child to sing halal, right, to sing words of praise and to give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he took us out of Egypt. That's not what we're going for on a nightly basis. On a nightly basis, we're just acknowledging that it was God who took us out of Egypt, and with the additional element of making it clear that that's why we're obligated to observe his mitzvos, and Yashem Elokeichem, Asher Tzeis Yischem, Meir Tzeshem Liyoslachem Elokim, right, famously, right, the Rav also explained that the reason that Zechir is Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is mitzvah Daraisa, but it's not counted separately in part of Taryag, is because it's really part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. It's intrinsic to that. That's why it's included in Kriyat Shema. It's kind of a whole story in its own right. In any event, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Rav's contribution to his family tradition was this idea that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story, especially with that narrative arc of Maschal Bignos and Messiah B'Shevach, is Mechayiv. It requires us to immediately give Halel v'hoda, l'fichach anachnu chayavim lahodos v'halel l'shabeach l'fa'er l'romim l'misha asalanu v'lavosenu es kol hanisim halalu, etc., etc. As we conclude the Magid section. Okay, so we know that, you know, especially for the Rav, it's part of the mitzvah d'orais of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I want to be clear, you know, in my notes for tonight, you know, I made the point that I made a little note to myself that I wanted to add a little caveat at this point, which is that, you know, there is a difference between halal and hoda, and it's a very important difference. But for purposes of tonight, I'm actually going to leave that issue to the side, and I'm going to conflate the two. Even though, again, in principle, there's a plenty to be, you know, to draw distinctions about with respect to Halal and Hoda in general. We all know in Tefillah, let's say, that, you know, Shevach, Bakasha, and Hoda, Shevach and Hoda really are two different sections. So there's clearly differences. But for now, I'm just going to relate to them as one unit, you know, words of praise and thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for orchestrating and directing, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so certainly we have very clear indication that it's playing a major role in our experience of Leil HaSeder, point number one. You know, point number two is a certain kind of an anomaly, which is a discrepancy between, you know, like our practice, the standard text of the Haggadah that I think probably everybody here is you know, familiar with and uses, and the Rambam's Nesach HaGadah, which does not include, you know, of all things, Dayenu. You know, you can imagine, you know, the Rambam shows up, you know, third grade, everybody's singing Dayenu, he doesn't know it, they call in his parents, say, your son's not advancing properly, he doesn't even know Dayenu, if you don't really know what to do, you can imagine, you know. So the Rambam didn't have Dayenu in his in that entire section, beginning with, you know, Kama Malos Tovos Lamakom Aleinu, that entire section is omitted from the Haggadah of the Rambam, which is one of these really interesting things. Is a second, you know, point that I wanted to raise right at the outset is like, you know, what exactly is the contribution of that section? You know, many people have raised specific questions over the years, like, you know, is it really true? You know, if a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you know, Nasan Lanu Es HaShabbos, you know, Velo Kirvanu Lifnei Har Sinai Dayenu. So we could have like this whole discussion that Shabbos, you know, the Rambam writes is Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvah Sheba Torah. So, you know, and Kirvanu Lifnei Har Sinai Velo Nasan Lanu Es HaTorah. So we all, you know, say, okay, but coming in front of Har Sinai, that was also good. You know, Vayichan Sham Neged Ahar, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. But then, you know, people start to wonder, like, you know, but would it have lasted? You know, we really did need the Torah. So, you know, Dayenu itself is like this very interesting thing. So I want to try to get back to, you know, analyzing the role of Dayenu, especially trying, you know, to, you know, stipulate what it is and to try to maybe speculate, admittedly, a little bit about, you know, the fact that it doesn't appear in the Rambam and why it doesn't appear in the Rambam and what the trade-off of like a Dayenu is and how it furthers our understanding of the role of Hodaah, Hallel the Hodaah, on Leil HaSeder. That's a second dimension. The third dimension that I just wanted to point out, more as an observation than anything else, you know, is, you know, the section of Arami Oved Avi, the section of Mikra Bikurim, is defined by two of the, you know, most prominent Rishonim, namely Rashi and the Rambam, to be the paradigmatic section in the Torah of Hoda'ah, of Hakaras HaTov. In fact, Rashi states it openly at the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, Higati Yom Hashem Elokecha, Ki Vasi El Haaretz, Asher Nishba Hashem Lavoseinu, Laseis Lanu. Rashi says, She'incha Kfoi Tova, that you don't take it for granted, you're not entitled, right? You don't think that this is something, you know, that you necessarily, you know, deserve more than previous generations who didn't have the privilege of being in the land of Israel. And the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos defines the mitzvah, this is in Kof Lamed Beis, mitzvah says in Kof Lamed Beis, so the Rambam says there that the nature of the mitzvah is lahodos, is to give hakaras hatov in the context of, you know, bringing the bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. That's how he defines the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. And we all know that, you know, Arami Oved Avi is like the, you know, the core section of Magid. So, you know, we're seeing again further and further indications of the role, you know, of Hakara Satov, you know, at Leil HaSeder. Okay. The fourth issue, you know, I just wanted to raise is a little bit more back in the Nahalal direction. Again, I know we're conflating, but you know, a little bit of a question, you know, that was raised by Reb Chaim Volozhin. So, you know, the Gemara in Megillah references the pasuk in Parshas Bishalach in the context of Kriyas Yamsuf, where it says that the Egyptian camp and the Jewish camp remained distinct from each other the entire night, even though, you know, the Egyptians were pursuing the Jews and seeking to overtake them, and they were pinned against the sea, so this was like their golden opportunity. But the Anan HaKavod separated between, you know, Machane Mitzrayim uvein Machane Yisrael, Vahi Anan Ve'achoshech Vaya'er Es HaLayla. And the pasuk concludes, V'lo Karav Ze'el Ze'a Kol HaLayla, that they were unable to, you know, draw close to each other. So the Gemara Megillah has a beautiful drasha, V'lo Karav Ze'el Ze'a Kol HaLayla. We know that sort of harkens back to the language that we have with reference to the malachim, that when the malachim are getting ready to sing, the karav zel zeh v'amar, so they somehow engage each other, and then they let forth this shira in this celestial realm. So v'lo karav zel zeh kol halayla, the Gemara darshins, bikshu malachi hashares lomar shira, right? The malachi hashares, you know, wanted to, you know, give praise. And, you know, God rebuked them very harshly. And God said, you know, Masa Yadai Tovim Biyam, Ve'atem Omrim Shira, right? Like, what kind of Shira is this? You know, this is like, you know, it may be necessary because the Egyptians are stubbornly chasing the Jews, but is this really a time, you know, for Hallel? So Reb Chaim Volozhin, you know, this is actually recorded not in his writings, but it's recorded in the Haggadah written by his son, Reb Itzala Volozhiner. So he wanted to know, Reb Chaim Volozhin, he writes in the name of his father. So he said, like, you know, my father used to ask, so like, what's this whole story about, you know, Hallel and Leil HaSeder? right? Whatever happened to Velokarav, Zeh El Zeh, you know, Kol HaLaila. Okay, so a couple, you know, just a, another question for us, you know, to take into consideration. So again, just to review some 4 points that we made about Halav Behodah, both questions and observations. Number one, for the Rav, it's clearly part of the mitzvah d'oraisa, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's the fourth element that differentiates Sipur from Zechira, so that certainly, you know, requires some analysis, you know, what role exactly is it playing. Number two is the entire section that we call, you know, Dayenu, but begins with, you know, Kama Malos LaMakom Aleinu, you know, Ilu Hotzianu Mitzrayim, Lo Asavem Shvatim, all the way down, you know, to the end, you know, Ilu, you know, Hichnisanu La'aretz Yisrael, Velo Banolanu Es Beis HaBechira, Dayenu, all 15 of those Ilus don't appear in the Rambam's Haggadah. What's the significance of that? Number three, right, the fact that Arami Oviravi, according to both Rashi and the Rambam, is a critical section, of maybe even the paradigmatic section of Hakara Satov in the Torah, and it's playing such an elemental role on Lil HaSeder. And then fourth, you know, the question of Reb Chaim Valazhin, recorded by his son, Reb Itzel Valazhiner, like, why is it that, you know, where Halel is playing such a dramatic role at Lil HaSeder? You know, after all, there seems to be this ethic which is expressed by the Gemara Masechta Megillah, V'lo karav zalzeh kol halayla, bikshu malachi asharis lo marshira, and Hashem rebuked them. And he said, you know, ma'asei yadai tovim bayam. So what exactly are we doing? Okay, so I'd like to make a suggestion about the nature of hoda'ah, about the nature of gratitude in general, like a certain dialectic that I think, you know, exists with respect to the way that we experience like gratitude in a very general sense, and then sort of like apply it back to Leil HaSeder and make an argument as to what might be going on. So when something, you know, really, really, really good happens, so there's, I think, you know, we all know from experience, like this, you know, generalized, hard to articulate, kind of a euphoria, where we feel this sense of, you know, ebullience, and, you know, we're overjoyed, kosi revaya. And it's hard really to, you know, put into words exactly what we're experiencing, other than we feel joyous and light. You know, there's this kind of all-encompassing, a sweeping kind of an emotion. If I had to think about one section, you know, in Mikra that really highlights it, it would be Mizmor Lasoda, which is appropriate, right? The 100th Mizmor of Tehillim, where it says, you know, Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz. I always think about that. And like when we want to give Thanksgiving, we feel like the entire world is singing along with us. You know, the truth is the next guy might be having a lousy day, but we feel like everybody's having a great day when it's, you know, when we win the lottery. Everybody knows that feeling. You know, Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, Bo Lefana Bernana, Deuki Hashem V'Lokimu Asanu V'Lo Anachnu, Amovet Zar Mariso. You know, Bo Shara Besoda, Chatzir Sabi Tula, Udulo Baruch Shmo, Kitov Hashem Lemachastov, Yador Vador Emunaso. So again, we're including the whole world. It's like for all generations. It's a very sweeping mizmor. And that's the way that we often experience, you know, great events. I remember, getting from one to two is the, you know, in the non-shidduch world, getting from 0 to 1 is got to be the hardest thing but in the shidduch world, you know, getting from 1 to 2 is much harder because, you know, you didn't really get to 1 on your own, if you think about it. So I remember when Chaya said yes to the second date, I mean, you know, that for me was like, Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz, you know, because I had decided after about 5 seconds, you know, took her a few months, but, that itself shows her good judgment right there. You know, the truth of the matter is that, right, you know, I remember this feeling of, you know, total euphoria, ebullience. Like, I remember walking down the street, you know, I lived in Manhattan at the time. There were a few, like, guys who actually lived on the street. And, you know, I wouldn't say that we it's a sort of casual relationship, but I remember giving them a big greeting that night, you know, you can imagine, you know, you feel like $1 million. So there's sort of like a quality to, you know, this feeling of hodah, of gratitude that we have when things, you know, go our way. It's very hard to like to break down into any component parts, and sort of, you know, is this overwhelming all-encompassing, you know, experience of, experience of gratitude. And you do feel like the entire world, you know, is singing along with you. You know, Haru Lashem Kol Aretz. That's something which is, you know, very much an irrepressible kind of an emotion. It, by definition, you know, it doesn't happen that often, and it's something that's, you know, very, you know, very, very special. The Rashi actually makes similar observation. Az Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael Ashir Azos Lashem v'yomru le'mor Ashir Lashem ki go ga. So Rashi says in the pasuk of Az Yashir that it was kind of this spontaneous, you know, eruption. It just, you know, came out of libam nisa'am. Their hearts simply like sang for them, almost, you know, in defiance of their intellect, whatever it was, but that it just came, you know, pouring out of them, you know, all that the Jewish people had experienced, you know, historically, intergenerationally, in terms of the suffering of Klal Yisrael, and that we crossed the Yam Suf and, you know, Vayar Yisrael Smitzrayim Meis Al Sfas Hayam, Vayar Yisrael Sayad HaGedola Asher Asash Mitzrayim. So that's what actually Reb Chaim Volozhiner answered, you know, to this question that he posed. He says, yeah, it's true. The Bikshu Malachi Asharis Lomar Shira, Malachi Asharis, from a cognitive intellectual standpoint, they wanted to sing Shira, and God said, you know, from a cognitive intellectual standpoint, I'm paraphrasing my own words, but this is really the idea. From a cognitive intellectual standpoint, you know, you could have a debate. Is this really a good thing? You know, after all, there's massive loss of human life. But, you know, if you're approaching it not from a cognitive emotional standpoint, but what Reb Chaim Volozhiner called in his own terminology as the Baal Hanes, meaning as the beneficiary of this remarkable event, which clearly spared your life and that of your parents and that of your children, and everybody was about to be annihilated, and from the jaws of, you know, gruesome defeat emerges this, you know, sublime victory. So you just sing Shira as an emotional response. In fact, Chaim Volozhiner says that's what you're supposed to do. A person is mechuyav, you know, if he's a Baal Hanes, right? The Mishnah in Haroah, the Mishnah at the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachos says that a person is a chiyuv. If a miracle happened, you know, to react and, you know, in that fashion. The Gemara Pesachim also says that there's a Takanas HaNevi'im going back to Shira Sayam, that we're supposed to say Hallel whenever we're, you know, extricated from, you know, some terrible tzara. So again, I think this really speaks to a certain dimension, you know, of Hakara Sato. It's very hard to break down into words. It lends itself more to poetry than to prose. What happens, I think, over time, in most cases, is that we're then able intellectually, looking back, to be able to, you know, more analytically, more cognitively, you know, express, you know, different things that we might, you know, be grateful for. You take, you know, sort of overall event, and you start to be able to see the component parts, you know. So, you know, again, you know, I don't have so many metaphors beyond baseball metaphors, but, you know, baseball, thank God, is broad enough that, you know, it's able to contain most life experiences. So, like, you know, going through it at the time, you know, for, you know, like, let's say the 1996, you know, Yankees championship against the Braves, you know, the first of my lifetime, you know, always remain the first. You know, it's true, 98, they're probably a better team, 99, 2000, but 96, the first, there can only be one first. Okay. So, you know, at the time, you know, you're just experiencing the incredible, you know, joy of the Yankees, you know, winning the World Series, and the general perspective of, you know, Machzir Atar LiYoshna, and, you know, things being the way that they should, but, you know, Dvarim Kitikunam. But, you know, you sort of like to think about it, you know, 25 years later, you know, you realize there are different component parts that, you know, had to happen. So, you know, the Jeffrey Mayer, for those who remember, the 12-year-old bar mitzvah boy, so he needed to cheat a little bit for us. You know, and David Cohn's surgeon. David Cohn was in the Yankees' main pitchers at the time. He had an aneurysm in his shoulder, so he'd need to do a tremendous surgery. So we have to thank whoever, you know, taught him in residency. There's a little, like, a lot of different pieces, you know, to the puzzle. You know, Joe Torre had to be fired by, you know, both the Mets and the Cardinals to become our managers. We have to be grateful to their front office, you know, for general inability to, you know, recognize managerial talent. There's a lot of different, you know, pieces that we have to really be makir tov for. But that's like really very much in retrospect. You know, when you're going through these things, you know, you don't have that. It's much more Shira, Haru Lashem, Kol Haaretz, you know, experience. But really, each individual component part, you know, was, you know, necessary and was something, you know, for which we should be very grateful. It was an incredible step, you know, along the way. And I think that's, you know, something which generally comes in retrospect. You know, apropos this point, there's a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Zayin, which actually comes into like a much sharper focus. The Gemara there says that Leah, Imenu, was the first person to ever give Hakara Satov, which is a pretty shocking thing. You know, it seems to contravene the simple reading of the Torah. Like, we all know that Noah, let's say, offered korbanos when, you know, he left the Teva. You know, and those korbanos, as noted by many, the Ramban, but many others, seem to be like a korban toda, right? You know, Noah was spared from this, you know, horrific fate. So you would think that Noah, you know, I don't know, maybe Noah was the first person to, you know, express a form of hodah. You know, what, you know, Avram Avinu, according to Rashi, when he was told, you know, Lazarecha etena saretz azos, that, you know, he, and then it says, Vayikra sham Avram b'shem Hashem, Rashi says it was a double hakara satov, al besora saretz, al besora sazera. He was giving thanks for Eretz Yisrael, he was giving thanks for, you know, being told he was at that point not able to have children, that he would have children. So it seems like Avram paid, so what does it mean that Leah Imenu was the first one to, you know, to give hakara satov, to express oda? So anyway, the Gemara quotes this passage. It says, Hapa'am oda es Hashem, obviously, in the context of naming Yehuda. So I'd like to suggest, you know, that what the Gemara is observing is something truly remarkable about Leah, which really defies the typical pattern in life. So we all know the story of Leah was of the Snua, that Yaakov actually despised her, Chalila, but that, you know, she felt that way, and with good reason. It was hard to be Leah, you know, Torah later on speaks about that, as ben ha'uvav, as ben ha'snua, lo yuchalu v'keres ben oval, p'nei ben ha'snua abachor, that we don't want a repeat of that scenario, what happened, you know, with you know, Rachel and Leah. Was very complicated. So in any event, you know, Leah, you know, felt this, and she felt it very acutely, and she named her first three children for, you know, this both depressing, but also aspect of her life, but also like this deep wish that she had that Yaakov would, you know, acknowledge her in some special way. Ra'ah Hashem esonyi, ki ata yevani ishi, that's Reuven. It didn't happen, right? Yaakov still maintained his loyalty to Rachel, right? So Shimon is Shema Hashem ki snua anochi, right? That's pretty despairing. Levi, you have this hope again, and it's pathetic in the literal sense of the term, right? It evokes pathos from us, as it can't help but feel for Leah. Ataha pam yilave yishielai ki alati lo shlosha avanim. She thinks it's always just about to happen, right? That Yaakov's about to, you know, shift loyalties, and then, you know, when it comes to Yehuda, finally hapam odes Hashem, which is very consequential, because what it demonstrates, you know, about Leah as a person, and I think this is why Chazal said to say she's the first one to really offer hakara satov, is she specifically is not saying I have everything that I want, or even everything that I need in life, but I have something important and I shouldn't take it for granted. And what would my sister give to have, you know, four sons? So the point is that, you know, when Chazal say that Leah Imenu is the first one to give Hakara Satov, part of what they mean is that Hakara Satov can't wait till we have everything, but that we have to be able to take a step back to acknowledge, you know, even, you know, partial things, things that we might say, well, we want more, we need more, but, you know, the component parts, as I like to call them. So that was Leah's, like, real contribution to the understanding of Hakara Satov. You know, when Noach was saved from the Mabul, he was saved. He had it totally and completely. Maybe that's not the kind of Hakara Satov, you know, that, Chazal were referencing in that Gemara. So again, so with that suggestion, I think we can now, you know, sort of return to, you know, our outstanding issue, which is the anomaly of the Rambam's Haggadah not having kama malos tovos lamakom malenu, the tova kfula umechupeles, the breakdown of the elements that were, you know, makir tofor into 15 distinct elements, beginning with Hotzianu Me'aretz Yisrael, Ve'asavhem Shevatim, etc., concluding with Hechnisanu La'aretz Yisrael, Banalanu Es Beis HaBechira, you know, all 15, you know, different components that the Rambam doesn't have. So why doesn't the Rambam have it? And what do we gain by having it? So I think, I'm just going to make a suggestion, that part of the reason that the Rambam doesn't have Dayenu is it's a certain modality of Hoda'ah that is, generally speaking, incongruous with the way that things are experienced in the moment. You know, again, to go back to the metaphor that we were giving before, when you're going through, you know, the World Series run, Lahavdil, right? You know, you're experiencing the euphoria, the Hariu Lashem Chol Haaretz. And for the Rambam, you know, uniquely, for us in general, but the Rambam certainly put a dagesh in this in a unique way, Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki Ilu Hu, you know, Yatza Mimitzrayim. The Rambam puts even more of an emphasis on that. He has a triple emendation to that statement. Chayav Adam Laharos Es Atzmo Ki Ilu Hu Be'atzmo Yatza Ata Mishibud Mitzrayim. That every person has to think of themselves as if they literally just left Egypt. So probably when you're just leaving Egypt, what you're experiencing is this drive towards Shira, right? The Malachi Asharis can approach it intellectually, but Klal Yisrael isn't going to approach it intellectually. As Yashir Moshe Vnei Yisrael, you're just going to cry out, you know, in Hallel and Hodah. It's very hard if you're really experiencing this in the moment, you know, to be able to break it down to its component parts and be able to see each element as distinctive, you know, taking us out of Egypt and avenging us the Egyptians and giving us Shabbos and giving us, you know, the Man and giving us the Torah and giving us a sense of national cohesion and comedy and, you know, Har Sinai. It's very hard, you know, you're going through these things, you don't experience them, you know, in a sort of like, you know, in a broken down and component part form. And so for the Rambam, I think it's entirely possible that, you know, the overwhelming theme or motif of Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo, Kilu Ba'atzmo Yatza Ata Mishibud Mitzrayim militated in favor of, you know, more, you know, poetry than prose, you know, a kind of, you know, ebullient response, Hallel Vehoda'a, but without, you know, breaking it down, you know, rather, as we say, Ilufinu Male Shira Chayam, Visisosenu Rina Kamon Galav, Einan Achnu Maspikim, Lahodos, Lahalo, Lashabeach, Lefire, Leromeim, etc. It's just like this overwhelming, overpowering sense. So maybe it is really secondary to the Rambam's general orientation, V'chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo, the unique perspective of the one who's actually going through it. It's just very hard. It takes years to be able, you know, to put things into their proper perspective with all of the different elements. That's what made Leah so remarkable, that she was able, like, even in the moment, to sense that, okay, you know, I might not have everything that I want, but I still have something very important. That too requires a kind of a hakara satov, hapam odes Hashem. But we, interestingly, you know, the overwhelming majority of us anyway, if we're using, you know, the standard, you know, text, the standard edition of the Haggadah, and by that, of course, you know, I mean Maxwell House as opposed to the Rambam. So, you know, who's the Rambam to argue with, you know, Maxwell House? So, you know, our experience is actually, I think we're trying to strike a very fascinating dialectic, a very fascinating balance. On the one hand, we certainly, you know, aren't casting aside the din of Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo, and we certainly have Hallel, and we certainly do say, as I just mentioned, you know, in Anachnu Maspikim Lahodos LaHallel, there is like an overwhelming component to it, and we recognize we can't really put into words. And as the Rav said, if we really are experiencing and reliving Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it naturally translates. That's the fourth distinction between Sipur and Zechira, and I think that's all true. But at the same time, you know, at some point over the generations, when the Haggadah is compiled, right, there's a retrospective moment where we begin to look back, so we begin to acknowledge that there are really many, many, many different levels, chama malos tovos, lamako malenu, and each of them in their own right really represented something critical. It was critical that we left Egypt, it was critical that God, you know, demonstrate his sovereignty by, you know, holding the Egyptians accountable. Shabbos was a critical step in our spiritual development, and coming to Har Sinai was a critical step in our spiritual development, and receiving the Torah was a critical step in our spiritual development, and coming into Eretz Yisrael was an absolutely critical step, and, you know, being Zocha to the Beis HaBechira is yet another step, right? And all of these things, Kamamalos Tovos, Lamakom Aleinu, you know, we're willing to engage in that kind of a retrospective, perspective when it comes to, this moment within the framework of Sipur Yetzias Pnimis, to kind of zoom out from that, modality of re-experiencing of the Chayav Adam Liros HaSatzmo Kilu Yatzim Mimitzrayim, and to put on a different hat for a moment, which is a more analytical, sort of cognitive perspective about, Hakara Satov, and to be able to really appreciate, and to analyze for ourselves in a, very rigorous way, 15 distinctive elements of, the Chiyuv of Hoda'ah. And I think, just to conclude, on this note, that, it's dialectical really, in two senses of the term. And to me, it's extremely complementary, with an E, in terms of what we're trying to achieve and what maybe the most like rarefied form of Hakara Satov is. So I think that when it comes to expressing Hakara Satov to people or to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having that, affective, emotional response, what I call the poetry, the Az Yashir, which can't really be contained in words. It's Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz. You feel like the whole world is singing along with you. That's an essential element of Hakara Satov. That's the heart more than the mind. It's sort of the senses, are experiencing the joy of salvation and relief of, being, really saved from, the verge of disaster. And that's like a critical element of our Hakara Satov, is that we have to be able to sing. We have to be able to recognize great moments, for what they are. And, they're few and far between, personally and nationally. And, the Gemara in Sanhedrin comes to mind, right? And when Chizkiyahu was saved, from the camp of Ashur, there's this famous Gemara in Sanhedrin of, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Chizkiyahu Mashiach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiyahu the Melech HaMashiach, right? He came from the right family of Malchus Beis David, and he experienced this great salvation. So the Gemara says, so why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu make him Mashiach? And the Gemara answers, because he didn't sing Shira in his Yeshua. That he, I don't know what he did, maybe, he wrote a 5-paragraph essay about it, breaking down the component parts, but he sort of lacked the emotional range. He wasn't able to emote and to sing. Sometimes in life you need to be able to sing. Something really spectacular, happened. If a person's response, not that I was around for it, but if a person's response to, Milchemet Sheshet Hayamim and the Nisim Gluyim that, went on, was, be to, make some kind of like an antiseptic remark that this is, truly, an enormous victory for us. There'd be something deficient about that, because, there is something to be said for Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael, the Libam Nisam, to go back to that Rashi. And that's a huge part of Hakara Satov, and we are looking for that. But Meidach, on the other hand, and at the same time, we should be able, generally speaking, retrospectively, we should be able to go back and appreciate, some of the nuances, right? And the, the many different elements that go into, our salvation. So Chazal, let's say, in the Baal Haggadah, we're able to break down Yetzias Mitzrayim into 15 parts. Maybe we could do 50, maybe we could do 100, whatever it is, and to really be able to delineate. And then I think in general in life, we want to have both aspects of Hakara Satov, both the poetry and the prose, both the emotive and the cognitive. And it's fascinating to me that even though the Rambam clearly, only had one of these modalities, we actually have both. There's the instinctive, emotive, affective response of, halal v'hodah, but there's also kamamalos tovos lamakom aleinu, a much more cerebral or cognitive approach, which compels us to analyze like each, specific part independently and its contribution, to the overall story. And in that way, I think we bring to bear both, our minds and our hearts, both our das and our lev, to the incredibly important form of Avodas Hashem that is, Hakara Satov, that is Halo V'Hoda, and it's certainly true in general, and I think it has unique dimensions, on Leil HaSeder. So with that, I just wanted to thank everybody for their participation this entire series that we had together. And wish everybody, you know, a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. It should be really an uplifting and joyous Pesach for everybody and their families, and Zman Geula for each and every one of us. So wishing everybody a good Yantif. Oh, I think Naomi has a question. Yeah, Naomi, by all means.
Can you expand on